This is a very special pizza.
It's elegant.
This is a song composed by the Vidyapati. So I call this vintage rasa.
What
vintage? Vintage rasa.
What is vintage? Ah, old.
You know, it's never white, but it's old.
Oh,
old car, which is in the old style, but very classic, is called vintage. Is there a word in German?
Vintage,
should
I say?
Vintage.
Classic.
Classic. Because this is from a writer of a generation before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So, can I have some
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Did not have the possibility to sing among his associates. The poetry of Vishnu
Chakritapur.
Oh, Krishna Dasdak. That was right. Narottam Dasdakur. Because they had not appeared, they had not written their song. So Mahaprabhu, with his associates, he used to relish the vintage rasa, the old school, Gopamangal Thakur, Jayadeva Goswami, from sometimes 100 or more years before. So Vidyapati is from a period about 100 years before Mahaprabhu. And this is a very pathetic prayer. So I want to read the translation before I sing. The refrain of the song is Madhava Hey Bahuta Melati Koritai means again and again I beseech you, I humbly place my request before you. Dei Tulasi Kila Deha Samarpino. With the offering of Tulsi and Sasini seeds, I offer this body to you. So in Vedic society, when someone dies, then the relatives give Tulsi and Sasini seeds. But so by saying Tulsi and Sasini this offering, it means now I can stay alive for another moment. So now this is the last moment of my life. I cannot live without you anymore. So here are the sesame seeds and the tulsi leaves. Please accept me. Daya Jani, I know that you are very merciful. So you will not neglect me or give me up. Madhava, hey, bahuta minati kurita. Hey, Madhava. For you who are like a madhu, full of the sweet honey of transcendental love. For you who are like a madhu. That means also springtime, eternally fresh and young. Are you who are Madhav, That means Ma means Lakshmi Devi. Her means husband. You are the husband of the goddess of fortune. In other words, all auspiciousness and all opulence, all beauty is like your maidservant. Hey madam, bahut anandi kuri hai. Again and again, I offer my humble request to you. Gani te dosha. When I try to if you try to count my dosh, my faults, and my guna, my qualities, then you will not find, you will find so many faults, uncountable faults. And you will not find even one leshin, the trace of any good quality in me. But I have found one redeeming feature. Your name is Jagannath, Lord of the universe. Jagabahi nahi muhichar. And I, my existence is not outside of this universe. I am also in this universe. So you must be my Lord. This is my one redeeming feature. Kye manushya paki, pashu paki je janane. Now I will leave this body and perhaps I will be a human being in my next life. Manushya. Or maybe not. Perhaps I'll be pashu, an animal. Perhaps not even that. Pakiye janami, perhaps I will take birth as a bird. Perhaps not even that. Akiloki kabatange, perhaps as an insect. Or a tiny microbe. Karma vipake, now my death is coming. My karma is vipak, means in pakat. My karmas have matured, and now I have to taste the fruits of my own activities. But I ask for one thing, gata gati puna puna, as I come and go again and again in the chain of birth and death, mati rahu tua parasange, may my mind always be absorbed in the narrations of your pastimes. Bane vidyapiti. This vidyapiti, hungry praise. Akishai katara. Katara means completely tormented, tortured. Akishai, in a state of extreme, Akishai means extreme. In a state of extreme torment, I humbly pray, Tareite hiya bhava sindhu. Only you can cause me to cross over this ocean of material existence. Tua padapala vakariya valangmana, Tila eka deha dina vandhu. Oh, by one tiny drop of your mercy, you can deliver me. So I am avalambana, taking a complete shelter of the soft lotus-like petals of your feet. Madhava, hey, oh Madhava. Again and again, I offer my very humble request of your lotus feet. You can chant every day, read something every day, space out a little bit, whatever. But you have to know that one day, when we come to chant, will be the last day. It's the end of the line. No more chances to improve our condition, because the last moment has come. At that point, then the person It really feels the gravity of taking shelter of Sri Krishna. And the foolishness, the folly, the childishness of the being apathetic towards the service of Krishna. So the Vaishnava does not wait for that moment to come. But by praying such songs as this, the Vaishnava lives that moment and rehearses that moment every day of his life. There's a saying in India, one should pursue education as if he will live forever. What does it mean? If you're studying a subject, if you want to learn any subject, like studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, or even just something mundane like Sanskrit grammar, actually the subject is so big. You can only learn a little bit each day. So you have to think, I will learn something today, something tomorrow, and after a long time, I'll understand the subject. Otherwise, you'll lose enthusiasm. So it said that one who is studying or pursuing education should think that they will live a long time. Otherwise, you cannot apply yourself. But in religious activities, in spiritual activities, one should practice every spiritual activity as if you are about to die right now. And so such kirtans are extremely valuable for us to place us, our consciousness, seeing life in the right perspective. The wonderful thing about remembering death is that it causes us to put everything in its right priority, to get our priorities right. When we forget about death, then our priority becomes our career, our family members, our financial development, and somewhere down in the pile I have some chanting and maybe a bit of reading. But as soon as we give up living in denial of death, then suddenly all the priorities reshuffle and our engagement in bhakti comes to the top of the list. And all the other things, they disappear. Madhava Bahutami nati korito Madhava Bahutami nati korito Madhava Oh,
Yeah.
Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Thank you. Jai Ho Rai. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnanandana Salakya Chakshuramritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadale Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya namo namah Yam prabhrajantam anupetam apetu kritam Dvaipayano virakataraya jhama Putra iti tanmayatayataravo vrinedus Tam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosme Shyam sundar shikanda shikaya Smaha samvali manohara Radhikaraska mama kipare Sapirchana kinkarim kuru Bhukta bhinad Aparada lakshan Jaya Devi Tam Namam Charantikam.
Also, for my sustained Gandharva Puspanjali, my heart like flowers thousands of times at the lotus feet of Asmadeva Paramaraja to my Guru Pada Padma. My holy masters, Om Vishnu Pada Stotra Srimad Rupananda Tariwarya Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayana Goswami Maharaj. Secondly, I offer my sustained Dandava Pranam innumerable times at the lotus feet of my Sri Rupananda Gaudiya Guru Parampara, and I offer my pranam to some of my servants and Goswami's Panchakati. Now the course is myself, Sri Gyan Gauranga. We have been discussing the Sri Brahma Sanghita. Here, Chaturmukha Brahma, his heart is melting and waves of ecstasy are coming, and each one is causing him to express another vision of Bhagavan Sri Krishna and his relationship, his inseparable and inescapable connection from everything in all existence. Because he himself is Parabrahma, the absolute truth. Brahmaji, he is not encumbered by a gross physical body. His form is made of intelligence. And he is very qualified to practice meditation. Yet even being so qualified, and so unencumbered by the disturbances of worldly life, still, he went into meditation for hundreds and hundreds of years. And then he had this realization of Goloka Vrindavan. In previous times, great personalities like Dhruva Maharaj, for the sake of bhajan, they gave up eating, drinking, sleeping, even breathing, and gave their full concentration in their Diksha Mantra. And Dhruva, he attained, or even he did not go beyond this material universe. He attained the Dhruva Lok, one Vaikuntha planet which is manifested within the coverings of the Prapanchik Jagat, the material world. Great personalities like Prishni and Sutapa, in the performance of their bhajan, they underwent so many difficulties. Drona and Dhara, thousands and thousands of years of tapasya. Tapasya is not a dry austerity, but the concentration of the mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. But what kind of bhajan are we doing? Even Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, Sanatana Goswami and others, how they live their life. Sankhya purva kanama gana natidika alavasani krito nidrahara vihara kaji vidito chatyanta dino chalo. Every day, they Sankhya purva kanam, they completed fixed number of harinam. Not less than 1,64,000 rounds. Unless they fainted in bhav and they had no opportunity. Otherwise, they would try very hard to complete their nam. Even Srila Haridas Thakur, when he was very old and about to leave this world, he would not eat anything because he had not finished his 3 lakhs harinam. Mahaprabhu asked him, "Are you ill?" He says, "Yes. My body is okay, but my heart is ill because I cannot complete my fixed number of rounds every day, 192 rounds. So I am, my soul is sick." So Rupa Goswami Pad, he wrote, Pratinanam bhajanam matalam duskaran srimvato me. Prachinanam, in the ancient times, bhajanam atulam, it is incomparable the way the great sadhus, they perform the bhajan. Just can't swim with all me. When I hear about it, I think I could never do such bhajan like that. And what did they attain? Oh, destinations that are even not comparable to the destination I am hankering for. So much higher. The service of Radha and Krishna. So he said, Narasyena jolati hridayam bhakti leshala sasya. Narasyena. Hopelessness. Jolati hridayam is burning my heart. My heart is burning, burning with hopelessness. When I compare myself to the great Vaishnavas described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and I think, bhakti lesa alasasya. I think I have not even a cent of bhakti. And I feel like I cannot continue to live. But then I remember, Tava agahara karuna vichin. Oh, Krishna, you are the savior of Agasur. Because the waves of your mercy are inconceivable. If anyone will approach you, then they'll be touched by the waves of your mercy. When the tide goes out, then the beach is exposed. And if a rich man will stand on shore there and wait, then the waves will come and they will wash over him. But if a poor man will stand there, the waves will also wash over him. If a dog will stand there, the waves will also wash over him. If an insect will stand there, the waves will wash over him. So I remember, see Krishna. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho, you are the ocean of mercy. And if anyone will simply approach you, then the waves of your mercy one day will come and wash over that person. Especially, I remember Agasura. Why did you give your mercy to Agasura? Was it a decision that you made on the day when Agasura came to Vrindavan? No. The moment Putana put your lips to her breast, at that very moment, you were so grateful that Putana simply even disguised herself like a devotee and artificially did an act of service to you. And that moment you became so pleased that you decided, I will deliver her whole dynasty. So Agasura and Bakasura, they're the younger brothers of Putana. So Putana, Agasura, Krishna decided to deliver him the moment Putana put her breast to his mouth. This is the, see Krishna's nature. His heart is so soft. He is not akritagya, ungrateful for any service rendered by anyone. So Rupa Goswami is saying, when I compare myself to the Vaishnavas of the ancient times, then my heart burns with hopelessness and I feel that I cannot go on. But when I remember how the waves of your mercy washed over Agasura simply because he had a connection to Putana, who disguised herself like a devotee, then a drop of hope appears in my heart and I think, all right, I will try to live for one more day. Why? Because my brother is Sanatana Goswami. he is absorbed in the loving service of Radha and Krishna. So by this some incidental connection with such a great personality as Sanatana Goswami, then perhaps one day the waves of Krishna's mercy will flow over me. And Krishna will decide, oh, he has no qualities, but anyway, I'll give him my mercy. Surita Sanatana Chitta Vihara Davata Jaya Jaya Sundara Nanda Kumar. All glories to the beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj. For whom? Surit Sanatana. Sanatana is a very close and intimate associate. Chitta Vihara Davata. In whose heart? In the heart of Sanatana Goswami, the son of Nanda Maharaj, he makes avatar. He descends and performs his vihar there. So by my incidental connection with such a great personality, I think that I may one day become eligible to receive Sri Krishna's mercy. So the realization Brahmaji is having here in Brahma Samhita, what he had to go through to attain this, is unimaginable for us. But still, we think, oh, Gurudev has accepted me as his disciple. Gurudev has given mantra. So somehow, by this slight contact, just the touch of a relationship, then I may become a candidate for Sri Krishna's compassion. Daivi Hiyasha Gunamayi Namamaya Dhyataya. Krishna's energy, this material world, is immensely powerful. And no jiva has the power to overcome the force of this material energy. And even as devotees, in our daily life, from day to day, it's very easy to become completely bewildered by the influence of material energy. To lose perspective, to lose a vision of what is real and what is unreal, what is important and what is completely insignificant and worthless. So here in Brahma Samhita, some verses, they describe Sambandha Jnana, knowledge of the relationship, Sadharana, general Sambandha Jnana. This general Sambandha Jnana is like a map of reality, and on that map, we can see there's one arrow, you are here. We can understand where we are in relationship to everything else. And our position is so tiny and insignificant. If we were not to have the opportunity to follow or to hear the words of Lord Brahma in Brahma Samhita, and we were to make our own map, then we will be very big on this map. But if we hear the actual description of reality, then we can get some notion of how insignificant we are. and how all the worries, the concerns, the anxieties, the issues that we may struggle with or battle with from day to day are just so negligible and insignificant, that upon hearing the verses of Brahma Samhita, we will wonder why we ever worried or thought about these things in the first place. So, some of the verses of Brahma Samhita explain Sambandha, the relationships between all aspects of reality. Some of the verses explain the Abhideya Tattva, the process of self-development, evolution, how to engage in bhakti, and some of the verses describe the prayojan of praying. Mahaprabhu said all the Vedas follow this format of Sambandha Tattva, Abhideya Tattva, and Prayojan Tattva. Mahaprabhu, in one paya, in one verse, he summarized these three types of knowledge. He said, Krishna Sambandha, Bhakti Abhideya, Prem Prayojan. The relationship of everyone is only with Krishna. The only process, Bhakti Abhideya, and the only goal, Prayojan, is Prem, pure love for Sri Krishna. So all the Vedas observe this format. And so a correct interpretation of the Veda will yield this fruit of a very clear understanding of where am I, what is my important duty or only necessary occupation, and by following that, what will I attain, what is the goal of my life. So today, we'll select some of the verses from Brahma Samhita here and there, but in a particular sequence. First we'll look at verses that consider Sambandha Tattva, then Abhideya Tattva, then Prayojan Tattva. So, Brahmaji, he began to describe the Krishna Tattva with whom we have Sambandha. Pantastu koti shata vatsara sampragamyo vayoratapi manaso muni pungavanam Sopyasti yat prapadasimya vichincha tattve govinda nari purujam tamaham bhajami. If the munis, not only munis, muni pungavanam, the munis who are very expert, if they will, they can travel by their mystic power at the speed of the wind, but more than that, at the speed of the mind. For koti shatavatsara sampragamyo, for hundreds and millions of years to be taken together. But how far can they go? There is a limit to what they can discover. What is that limit? So pyasti yat prapada sima means a limit. The limit is at the tip of the toe of Govinda. They cannot get there. Only they come. But then they cannot go any further. Because the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, they are not only achintya, inconceivable. Here Lord Brahma is saying avichintya. Achintya is already an absolute term. Inconceivable. Like the word pregnant. It's an absolute. You cannot be a little bit pregnant. Either you are pregnant or not. So something's either chintya or it's not chintya. But Lord Brahma here is saying avichintya. Like very, very pregnant. Understand? Yes. It's an intensive, the prefix is an intensifier. So the position of Sri Krishna is that his avichintya, he cannot come within the jurisdiction of the conception of a very smart person, or even a Muni who has been meditating for hundreds and thousands of years. How fine is his intelligence, his discrimination? Yogis, by their meditation, they come to understand everything about the subtle forces within their own bodies, all the prans. They become conscious of 72,000 nadis, pranic channels in the body. They have counted them and written about them in their shastra. And each one is a different color. How fine is their experience of reality? And not only within their body, but also the entire universe and all the planets and the distances between the planets. All this they have access through their meditation. But they have no access even to the tip of the toe of Sri Krishna. So one is left with no alternative but to simply adore him, to surrender to him and pray, my Lord, by your grace. So Brahmaji had been repeating for thousands of years, Prachodayat, begging for grace for thousands of years. Then he saw Vrindavan. Vedanta Sutta said, Atato Brahma Jityasa. So powerful. Atta means therefore. And Atta means now. So, now therefore, Brahma, the absolute truth, Jigyasa. From Gya, the verbal root to know, to make it into desiderative, you have to make a repetition of the first syllable. So Gya becomes Jigya. Jigyasa becomes a noun. Now it means the desire to know. So Brahma Jigyasa means the desire to know Brahma. Now therefore the desire to know Brahma. Why now and why therefore? The Vedanta Sutra is called the Mimamsa Shastra. Mimamsa means interpretation. The Vedas are there, but how do we interpret them properly? So there are two methods of interpretation. The Purva Mimamsa and the Uttara Mimamsa. Means the first or the earlier interpretation and then the later interpretation. So the early interpretation, Purva Mimamsa, was written by Jaimini Rishi. So Jaimini Rishi interpreted all the Vedas in terms of how to find happiness in this world by performing yagyas, by doing karmas that will elevate one to higher and higher standards of living, comfort and luxury. Oh, up to the heavenly planets, Indralok, Suryalok and so on, Chandralok. So with that seeing through the interpretive lens of that interpretation, how can I better the standard of my living? He interpreted all the Vedas, and it was called the Parvamimamsa. But if one has studied Parvamimamsa very carefully, then one will realize that whatever standard of living you attain is lost by the very rapidly flowing river of time, lost into oblivion. So all of this coming and going in the material world is just futile. It is like Sisyphus, you know Sisyphus? Eternally, if there was a stone at the bottom of a hill, he had to push the stone to the top of the hill, and then it rolled down again, and he had to go down and push it back to the top of the hill, forever. It is a Greek mythology. So someone who has studied very carefully the earlier Purva-mimamsa, then they'll realize this material world is a bit like being Sisyphus, actually. It's just like hard work rolling stones up a hill just to watch them fall down again and have to do it again and again. And this is insane. So when one has studied the Purva-mimamsa, afterwards he studies the Uttara-mimamsa. So the Uttara-mimamsa begins with now. Now you've studied the Purva-mimamsa and understood the complete futile and insane way of the world. Ataha, therefore, Brahma-jigyasa. Don't ask how to better your situation. Now, therefore, the desire to know Brahma, the truth. This Brahma-jigyasa, the desire to know the truth, is not a casual, passing desire to know the truth. Oh, that's interesting. Why don't we talk about the truth for 5 minutes? No. Atato Brahma Jigyasa means, now therefore, there is an all-consuming, exclusive desire to only know what is the truth and not anything else. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. It is the beginning of the Vedanta. So, only one who has a thorough understanding of the futility of all material endeavors can have an all-consuming desire, a desire that leaves no space in their heart for anything else, to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, Brahmaji, he is expressing the futility of all methods of knowing or understanding, because they cannot give one any access to Govinda, the Parabrahma, the Supreme Truth. Then Brahmaji, he said, why is it that you cannot conceive of him? Because he is unlike anything that you have ever experienced. Ekopya sora chaitam jagadanda kautim yakshasti rasti jagadanda chayayarantaha andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamaham madam. Ekopya, so although he is one, and the truth is one, still, he is the creator of unlimited universes by the transformation of his Shakti. Those universes emanate from him. And even though they come from him, they're still within him. And he is also fully present in his entirety and completeness within every atom within each universe also. So he has no inside, no out. There is no intelligible dimension to this being. So Brahmaji, by offering this prayer, he's giving the living entities an opportunity to cleanse from their mind all the very rigid structures of conception that are born from their mature experiences. Every thought, every conception that a person has is just like a building, a construction, like scaffolding. First, by our senses, we perceive some polarity in this world. And our thinking splits into two polarities. Then we think of the two polarities, one is more important. So we then set priority and turn it on its end. And then within this, that we have given a privilege of priority, we also notice there is some polarity. It splits again. We give priority to one like this. And in this way, all our thoughts have structures. This is the structure of every thought. So this duality that we experience in the world, the making of polarities and priorities, this duality is not a conception in and of itself. It is the condition for the possibility of conceptuality. It is the condition, the perception of duality is the condition for the possibility of conceptuality itself. You understand? This is not an idea, but it is the substance which inhabits and makes the shape of every idea. And this is why no one's ideas can come to any conclusion or find any truth, because they are inhabited by and constructed from the experience of duality. But here, the Brahma is saying, Eiko! Eiko Pyaso. Reality is not divisible into dualities. There is only one being. And that is Krishna. And that one being, by the transformation of his Shakti, has manifested everything that we see. And we are experiencing duality. And on the basis of this duality, we construct so many illusory conceptions. They are conceptions. This is an explanation why Krishna is achintya, inconceivable. So he's saying here, no, there are not many things. There is only me. And my energy is playing. But because you have forgotten this, now you are lost in the fog of these artificial thoughts and conceptions, which are built on the basis of duality, which does not exist. So then, Brahmaji, this verse is a sadhana, so I'll skip over it and come back.
Which text are you?
Which one? The
sadhana?
Ekopya Sohra Chaitan, 35. The next one is sadhana, so I'm going to come to that later. I just want to touch on some of the texts of Sambandha again. Krishna said here, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niam, sorry, Brahma saying, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niamena Tistan Nana Vatara Makarad Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Parama Pumanyo Govinda Nadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So this verse is astonishing. Here, what Brahma is saying, within this darkness of the fog of material misconception, the avatars of Krishna, they come again and again. Ramadi Motishu. Krishna appears as Lord Ram, Varaha, Nishinga, Kalki, and others. However, Kintu means however, Krishna Swayam, Samabhavat Paramapumanyo. Govinda,
Govinda
also appears in Krishna Swayam himself. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains Samabhavat Parama Pumanyo. Parama means the greatest, and Puma means the Purush or Prabhu. So here, Parama Puman means Mahaprabhu. But Krishna Swayam, Govinda, he appears. Krishna Swayam, himself, he also appears in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Brahmaji, he said this, he may not have been aware of what he was saying. Aham vedni suko veti vyasa veti na veti va. Lord Shiva said that when Vyasadev spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, there were many things in it that even he did not understand, because it came through him. So here also, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that Brahmaji is speaking about many incarnations of Krishna, but adds that Govinda also appears in another form as Mahaprabhu, though Brahmaji was not aware of it. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti kotishvaseshu vasudadi vibhuti vindam yad brahma nishkalam anantam asheshu bhutam govindam adi purusantam aham bhajami. The light of Brahman, which is searched for by so many sages and rishis, which the nirvishesh, the undifferentiated, the homogeneous field, the unified field, as they say today, that this is simply the prabha. It is just the aura, not even the full aura, but the angsik abhas, the partial semblance of the aura of Govinda. So here, Lord Brahma is establishing the Sambandha Gyan, that this nirvishesh Brahma, this undifferentiated unified field, which is the goal of so many philosophers, this is very insignificant as the angsik abhas of Krishna's aura. Those impersonalists who worship Brahman as the highest, those who are Mayavadis, they think that the form of Sri Krishna is of the three gunas, specifically that it is sattvic. It is the highest manifestation of this material world. Therefore, by worshipping Krishna, one can rise up, and then when you get to that level of the highest point of sattva, then you get rid of Krishna and then go into Brahman. So all of their bhakti is just using Krishna like a stepping stone to keep their feet on his head to go into liberation. So Mahaprabhu said, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi. Their philosophy is offensive. They are, by their words, cutting my body to pieces. Because they think that there is Swagat Bhed in Krishna's Swarup. Remember yesterday we discussed Swagat Bhed, the duality in Krishna's body. So if you say that Krishna's body has duality, this is like trying to cut the Advaya, his non-dual Swarup. So Mahaprabhu said, of that Prakashananda who is in Varanasi, he's cutting my body. So those who think that any form must be of the three gunas, or that the form of Bhagavan is of sattva gun, Brahmaji is wiping away their misconception. Maya hi yasya jagadanda satani sute traigunya tadvishaya veda vitayamana sattvava lambi para sattvam vishuda sattvam govindamadi purusham tamam bhajami. Maya, the material energy, has created all these universes from the trigunya, three gunas. And the Vedas, Trigunya Tadvishaya Veda Vitayamana, The Vedas have described how this world works and the processes of karmakanda. So the Vedas also are involved in describing the gunas according to the perspective or interpretation of Uttarmimamsa. But sattvavalambi parasattva vishuddha sattvam. This coward boy Govinda is not of sattva, rajas and tamas. His form is beyond this. It is vishuddha sattva, supremely pure existence. We discussed that earlier in the class, that it was the earlier interpretation of the Vedas made by Jainini Rishi. And the Vedanta is the Purva Mimamsa, yeah. And the Uttara Mimamsa was later, the later interpretation, which is Vedanta of Vyasadeva. So Traigunya Tadvishaya Veda Vitayamana is according to Purva Mimamsa. Even Sri Krishna mentions the same thing in Gita. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavajana. Hey Arjun. The Vedas are dealing with subject matters connected with the three modes of nature. You have to be above these Vedas, this subject matter. But later in Gita, Krishna said, Veda is to Saravahama Eva Vedya. Build the Vedas and to be known. So what does it mean? Krishna is referring to two different lenses of interpretation. The interpretation from the perspective of those whose desire is sakam. We have some personal interests. And the very same words of the Vedas, when they are read by one who is anya bilasita shunyam, having no desire but to serve Krishna. Now this very same words, actually every word glorifies Krishna. So this is an example of the multivalency, not only of the words of the Vedas, but of all words. Not of all words, but of all things even. Every object in this world, Vasudeva Sarvaniti. And one point of view, the point of view of Bhogavriti, the enjoying spirit, then this world is so many material objects. And from the point of view of Sevavriti, all is a manifestation of Krishna. So everything depends on the direction of one's desire. It has been a theme that we've been discussing for a few days. The fundamental position of desire as the basis of reality. So then, but Brahma said, Goloka namni nija damni talaya tasya devi mahesha haridam suteshu teshu te te prabhava nichayavihi tastayena govinda madhi purushantam. Govinda has endowed each level of existence with its own characteristics. Te te prabhava nichaya vihitas means that he has endowed each of the levels of existence with their own prabhav, their own feel, their own sphere of influence. So he's saying here that there is a Devi Dham, the material world, higher than this, Mahesh Dham, Lord Shiva's world, higher than this, a Hari Dham, Vaikuntha, of Lord Narayan, and higher than this, Golok, the highest planet of the spiritual world. So, when Lord Brahma said that each sphere of influence, each one is higher than the next, with Golok being the highest. It is not like a geography. Like, where is Golok? Oh, it's north of Vaikuntha. These are dimensions of existence. They are planes of faith. And the finer one's faith becomes, then that faith gives one access to a particular plane of faith. So, that one is higher than the other means that one requires a higher level of faith to enter into that plane. Understand? So, another thing is that the higher realms, they pervade the lower realms. But the lower realms do not pervade the higher realms. For example, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, oh, when I do kirtan in my home, when I taste the mahaprasadam, when I drink the charanamrita of my deities, then my house turns into Goloka Vrindavan. In the sun, Srila Bhaktivinoda Charanamrita. My home became Goloka Vrindavan. So, Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, the Haridham, Maheshdham, the Brahma Jyoti, all of them, they actually pervade this world. But this world does not pervade the Brahma Jyoti, Maheshdham, Haridham, or Golok. Golok pervades Vaikuntha, but Vaikuntha does not pervade Golok. In this sense, not in a geographical directional sense, but in terms of planes of faith, and how the finer realms pervade the grosser realms. This is what Lord Brahma is speaking about, saying that one is higher than another. So then, Lord Brahma says, Sisti sthiti pralaya sadhana shaktireka ca eva yasya bhuvanani vibhati durga ichanu rupam api yasya tachasta sarisa govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. This is a fantastic verse. He's saying that there is a goddess called Durga. Ma. Ma is Ma.
Ma is Ma.
Remember last year, no? Someone gave a lecture and said, Radharani is Ma. Sadhguru said, Ma is Ma. So Durga here, why do people say Durga, they're all the same? Because they don't have the Sambandha Tattva. So they're confused. Everything is one, all mixed together. So here Lord Brahma is mercifully imparting Sambandha Tattva to the Jivas. Durga, she is the power by which the Srishti, the creation, the sthiti, the maintenance, and the destruction of the material world takes place. And what is her ontological position? Chayeva. Chaya, she's the shadow of Sri Krishna's internal potency. In other words, if one wants to know why is the sky blue and the grass green, it's because in the spiritual world the sky is blue and the grass is green. This world is a reflection of the spiritual world. Huh? And things are the way that they are because it's a reflection of the spiritual world. Yeah? But as the reflection is always inverted, there is something inverted about this world. And that inversion is the desire of the jivas. Always comes down to desire. There, all desire to serve Krishna, and in the material world, all desire to serve themselves. So in the spiritual world, because Krishna is the center and all desire to serve Him, there's a perfect harmony. And in the material world, because there are so many different centers, everyone is in conflict. But what is the power within this verse? It's in the next line. Ichanu rupam api yasya tachesta tesa. All the cheshta, all the activities of maya, they are perfectly in accordance, each anurupa, perfectly in accordance with the desire of Sri Krishna. Coming back to the desire paradigm. They're perfectly in harmony with, they anurup, they follow the icha of Govinda, the Supreme Lord. And therefore, because everything happens according to Sri Krishna's desire, and because Sri Krishna is an ocean of mercy, and because Sri Krishna is the friend of every living entity, therefore everything that happens in this world is perfect. So one who will meditate on this verse can be enlightened to the vision of perfection and never be touched by anxiety or disturbance in this world. They will feel, let it be. Perhaps someone can sing that song for us. Let it be. Yeah? In the words of Paul McCartney, when I find myself in times of sorrow, then I have a spurty. Yeah? I have a spurty of Mother Mary. And she says, let it be. Everything's okay. So, this verse is extremely powerful. Because a devotee, when they try to meditate, it's difficult because the mind is disturbed. But what is that disturbance? It's simply the idea that there's something wrong with the world. And this is the fluctuation in the mind. So, if one will just utter this verse, and offer these duties of Brahma Samhita, then the mind becomes completely peaceful, then we can meditate. This is what our acharyas have recommended before doing Gayatri and chanting Harinam. Do some stavstuti. Don't worry so much that you are going quickly. And it just start. Like this, and go through the stuti. And quickly it will induce a very great dharana, concentration. Because all the ideas that you are hearing in detail now, related to the verses, they will rush and crowd into your mind as you offer the stuti. As you become practiced to say the stuti every day, all the pure knowledge will come into the mind and give the peacefulness. So then, some are worshipping Durga now. Some worship Shiva. Who is he? Kiranyatada divakara vishesa yogat sanjayate na hitatapati astikedo yashambhutama pitatasam upaitikayad govindamadi purajam tamaham bhajami. Just as milk, if it comes in contact with tamarind, it turns into yogurt. So in the same way, when Bhagavan is the yogat, yoga means touching or union. Yogat is this is the ablative case. It means from the union. Yogat from the union of a God with a vikar vishesh, with a special transformation of energy. Vikar vishesh, a special transformation of energy. What is that? There's a special transformation of energy. It is a tiny touch of tamagun. Which aspect of tamagun? The jadata, or the inertness aspect of tamagun. A tiny touch of jadata, the inertness aspect of tamagun. Plus the anutta, the anutta, which means the minuteness of the jiva shakti, plus some chit, some part of the chit shakti, and the part of the ananda shakti, together. These four things, the jadata of tamagun a little, the anutta, the minuteness of the jiva shakti, and a touch of chit and ananda, sambit and ladini, this is called the vikar vishesh, a special transformation of energy. It's the tamarind. And when Bhagavan will be in touch with that tamarind, then he becomes Shambhu Lord Shiva. This is the identity of Lord Shiva. Now, this is an analogy. It has some attributes, and like all analogies that have attributes, they also have some defect. And the defect is that Bhagavan is Vishuddha Sattva. So he can never actually come in touch with Maya at all. And so this idea that Bhagavan in touch with this Vikar Vishesh becomes Lord Shiva, is not to say that Bhagavan actually transforms, but it's only to impart the idea of the relationship between Shiva and Bhagavan, that Bhagavan is the cause of Shiva's existence. And Shiva is that aspect of Bhagavan. It is Bhagavan with a pratyak abhiman, with a separate self-conception. And when that pratyak abhiman of Bhagavan is joined with the vishesh vikar, we call him Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva is eternal. And Bhagavan is also eternal. So there was never a time when Bhagavan actually became Shiva. Yet still, the existence of Lord Shiva depends on Bhagavan in the way that the existence of yogurt depends upon the existence of milk. So in this way we have to take the attributes of the analogy and leave aside the defects of the analogy, which could be the notion that Bhagavan can transform or be in touch with Maya. It can never be. So if that's not clear, don't be discouraged, I'm not surprised. It's very, very not easy to understand. When I was translating this book, I was living in Lord Shiva's abode. Durvasa is the incarnation of Lord Shiva. And I was crying every day, I could not understand. And praying to Lord Shiva for a long time. So Lord Shiva is here, if you cry and you pray to him. And then again listen to this recording. And if, by Lord Shiva's mercy, Lord Shiva may appear and say, oh, it's like this, watch. Then, oh, this is very beautiful. Brahma said, Dipachi eva ida santaram abhyupeta dipai te vivrita heti sumana dharma yastadrigeva hita vishnutaya vibhati govinda madi purujam tamaham vajami. He's saying, I worship the original personality who expands into so many forms. Like Mahavishnu, who reclines on the causal ocean. Although those forms exist separately, they are none different from him, and they're expanded like the flame of a candle being lit by another candle. Luckily, we have two candles here just to demonstrate this. Can you give me that candle? It's a wonderful thing. Because there's no example in the gross elements made of earth to help us understand. But the subtle element of fire, because it's more subtle, can give us some idea how Krishna expands as his avatars. Look. Here. Look. There is one flame. Just see the shape of the flame. Yeah? And now watch. It's a miracle. One flame becomes two flames. Like this. So Brahmaji is saying, oh, Bhagavan, he's one. And effortlessly, he becomes two. And three, and four, and five, just as unlimited candles can be lit. He expands himself effortlessly. And as each flame has the same dharma here, vivrita hetu samana dharma, just as each flame has the same dharma as the previous one, so each form of Bhagavan has the same dharma. They're all Satchidananda. So now, Lord Brahma is really helping us see where we are on the map. He said, Ya karanana vajale bhajatisma yoga nidramananta jagadanda saroma kupa adara shaktim avalambya param swamurtim govinda mari purusham tamam. This verse goes along with the next verse. Yasya ikanishvasita karamata avalambya. Brahmaji is saying that Krishna expands and expands and expands, and one of his somewhat distant expansions is called the Mahavishnu, who is in yoga nidra, yogic sleep, and lying on the causal ocean. And from the pores of his skin, sometimes we think there's a pore of his skin and this universe comes out and gets really big. But Srila Jiva Goswami explains that no, if you could magnify the pore of the skin till it looked like a huge crater, like the crater of a volcano, then within that crater, there are millions of universes moving around like atoms in that crater. This is the size of the universes. So that's why he's called the Maha, big. No one knows the meaning of the word big, actually, until you think that the millions of universes are like tiny atoms moving around within the space of the pores of his skin. Now, in the next verse, he says, as the Mahavishnu is breathing in Yoga Nidra, every time he breathes out, those tiny, infinitesimal atomic universes come into being, and then when he breathes in again, then they dissolve. So one universe exists for the span of the lifetime of Lord Brahma. So now we're in Kali Yuga. It lasts for 427,000 years. Long time. But the previous age was twice as long. And the age before that was twice as long as that. And the age before that twice as long as that. So the entire four ages are 10 times longer than the Kali Yuga together. 4,320,000 years. So and that is only one cycle. And there are thousands of those cycles in one day of Brahma. And 365 days in his year and 100 years in his life. So Brahma's life is 311 trillion years. And what is 311 trillion years to us? For Mahavishnu it's just over. One breath. One breath. So in his one breath, how many disasters, calamities and anxieties take place of the living beings? How many times does a living entity go, oh my God, where's my passport? How many times does a living entity crash his car and think, oh no? How many times does a person for whom that living entity is very dear die? And that person cries, oh, I've lost my mother or my brother. How many times? It is inconceivable how many times people tear out their hair and have nervous breakdowns in the millions over things that are coming and going so fast from the perspective of Mahavishnu that why even bring it up? Why even talk about it? And that Mahavishnu is the expansion of the expansion of the expansion of the expansion of Govindam Adi Purujam Namaham Bhajami. So someone in this world who has their mind fixed on that Govinda, then if anything will happen in their life, then will they be affected by it? It's nothing. Nothing at all. And that's what it means to be Taroiva Sahishnuna. Mahaprabhu said, be tolerant like a tree. Don't sweat the small stuff. And what's the small stuff? Everything. Everything's the small stuff. Everything is the small stuff. Don't sweat it. I don't know, is there a phrase in German for that? Yeah, okay. Don't sweat the small stuff. If something's happening in your life and you're worried about it, you start to sweat. Right? So there's a saying in English, don't sweat over the small stuff. What's the small stuff? Everything. So here, Brahmaji is giving a chance. I began to speak at the beginning of this lecture about how, as devotees in our day-to-day life, we can become lost in the fog of Daivya Shuguna Mayi. And we think so many things are important, and our priorities are inverted. So before we chant, before we pray, it's very valuable to utter a stuti like Brahma Samhita that will just locate us, center us, put us everything in the right perspective before we engage in our bhakti. So how valuable these things are. And that is why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the beginning of the prayers, he said, the intelligent devotee should try to enter into the meaning and the feeling of these verses spoken by Lord Brahma every day. And it will be very valuable. We can really make advancements. Because a person who is chanting and trying to think of Radha and Krishna, but at the same time their mind is full of the fog, of the small stuff, of this world, it's impossible. So these verses, they drive away the fog. So with a clear mind, a crystal clear mind, with a Shuddha Sattvic Bhav, one can meditate on Sri Krishna.
Okay.
It's enough for now. We can continue later. Sri Brahma Samhita ki Gaura Premanande. If it's possible to print out just a few, only the verses, like that. And so in the afternoon, we can just go. Just chant it together, just that. Just chant it, just to make the sanskar of just chanting it together. And then as we touch each verse, then it will, all the things we've been hearing, they'll rush into the mind and push away. They will dismantle all the construction of material concepts. And then the heart becomes prepared to become absorbed in the remembrance of Krishna Naam, Roop, Gun and Lila. Gaura Premanande. No, there are lots of verses on Sambandha and lots of verses on Abhideya and on Prayojan also. So they don't come, there is a flow, there is a method in Brahmaji's sequence of verses. But it's not in the sequence of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. So it's worthwhile to consider both the sequence of his verses and the connection between each verse. What is the idea in the previous verse that gives birth to the idea explained in the next verse? Something very important always. Whenever we're reading any Shastra, whether it's Brahma Samhita or Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, don't be in the habit of seeing one verse only like an island existing by itself, but also try to be aware of the idea of the previous verse that gave birth to it, and what idea this verse is giving birth to that will inspire the ideas of the next verse. It's always important to watch. So that's important. But it's also important to then rearrange the verses according to Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. Perhaps you know that Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, his name was Ramananda in his Purva Ashram when he was a law student. And one day he came, he heard there was a great sadhu called Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, and he went to see him. So when he arrived there, the root mart of all the Gaudiya Mats in Mayapur, when he arrived, there was one brahmachari, and he was sitting on the chair with his feet on the table, going like this with his feet. And his eyes were closed. And sannyasis were coming and giving pranam to him. And he wasn't even getting up from his seat, he was just sitting there with his feet. And they would give pranam, and they would ask a question, and he would say a few words with half-closed eyes, and then close his eyes, and then he would give pranam again and go away. Srila Sridhar Maharaj is thinking, who is this person? Actually, he was a brahmachari, but he was wearing white cloth. He wasn't even in saffron. Even he did not shave his head. Yeah. And who is this person? So he asked someone. He said, who is he? He said, oh, he is Vinod Babu. So now we know him as our Param Gurudev Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami. Yeah. So, one day Srila Srila Maharaj asked him, when I first met you, your eyes were closed, you were going like this, you're ignoring everything. What were you thinking? He said, in my mind, I was going through the 559 sutras of Vedanta, and I was rearranging them in such a way that they would clearly express the glories of Harinam Sankirtan. Anyway, so I'm just giving an example of why it's important to see verses in their context, and to sometimes extract them from their context, to rearrange them, and it will give another emphasis. You see, this is an example. So, as Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj is rearranging in his mind the sutras of Vedanta, what we're doing today is not the following the Bhagavatam, the Brahma Samhita step by step, according to the train of Brahmaji's thoughts, but rearranging it so that the Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan become emphasized. Jiva Goswami has done the same thing. You see, in his, say, his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lagu Vaishnav Toshini, he explains each verse in the order that they come in the Bhagavatam. But in his other commentaries on the Bhagavatam, called the Sandarbhas, six Sandarbhas, he's rearranged all the verses of the Bhagavatam in the first four Sandarbhas related to Sambandha, in the fifth Sandarbha Abhideya, and the sixth Sandarbha Prayojana. So as Jiva Goswami has done in his Sandarbhas with the Bhagavatam, we are doing in a kind of small scale now through these lectures with Brahma Sambandha. So there is a precedent for it.
When Keshava Maharaj went to the Sankirtan Rath Yatra in Navadvip, he wanted to get Sridhar Maharaj's blessings.
I have not heard this. It may be some wire got crossed. Maybe sometimes the stories get mixed up. When our Vinod Bihari Brahmachari went to Sridhar Maharaj and said, please give me sannyas. Then Sridhar Maharaj said, how can I give you sannyas? You're my senior godbrother. You are senior to me in all ways. And he said, but you have received sannyas from Prabhupada. I want to receive, according to Vidhi, to set an example that in the future, everyone just won't walk around giving themselves sannyas. And they will respect the Vidhi, the Vedic tradition that you receive it from another sannyasi. So, one day, Sridhar Maharaj, in a bhav, when he heard that Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj made the Rath Yatra in Navadvip, he did it in for the first time in 1968 in Navadvip, and then he left this world. Then the next year, when they organized it, the news came to Bhakti Sridhar Maharaj, and that one day in the one bhav, he felt, oh, a chariot has come to Vrindavan to take away Krishna, and he became disturbed. And some devotees misinterpreted his Sanchari Bhav as being a Siddhanta, and then tried to criticize Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj and say, hey, this is wrong, you shouldn't do this. But the Sanchari Bhav's feelings that the Vaishnava may have on one day, they're not always Siddhanta. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami, in the 60th and 61st verse of Vilap Kusamanjali, he's thinking, I am Rati Manjali, and I've just arrived in Nandagaon in the morning, And the cows are humba humba, and their bells are ringing, and musicians are playing. It's like Nandigaon is like a festival. Oh, it's so wonderful. And this Nandigaon is even more dear to Krishna than Govardhan. But then Rupa Goswami in Upanishamriti said that Vrindavan is higher than Mathura, and Nandigaon is in Vrindavan, consider. And Govardhan is higher than Vrindavan, and Radhakund is higher still, and so on. So this is an objective Siddhanta. But when a Vaishnava is absorbed in one particular mood, then the feeling he's having at that time is, this is the best, and so on. So not every statement of Shastra is a Siddhanta. Some are objective Siddhantas, and some are manifestations of Bhav.
So the year Keshav Maharaj wasn't even there, the year 1960.
The year the controversy came about, in actually something was printed, I think, in 1970. It first appeared in a magazine, an article by Bhakti Prapanna Damodar Maharaj wrote an article based on some statements that Srila Srila Maharaj had said. And this caused some conflict between them.
That kind of like stole one of the main things.
Yes, but this is sometimes people, they take something from history and they use it to push forward their political agenda without knowing the details. I went to see Bhakti Prapanna Damodar Maharaj just before he passed away, when he was doing bhajan in Puri. And actually, he wrote something, but it was some philosophical idea promoting some discussion. But he himself actually went and attended the Rath Yatra every year in Navadvip. And not only that, but I spoke to old sannyasis who knew him, and they told me that he actually went begging door to door and collected money for the Rath Yatra also, even that. And afterwards, he was somewhat ashamed that what he had written had made a schism.
Yes. Right now, all this, we're meditating right on this, just sambandha. And is this the reason? It creates an astonishment. Wow,
yes.
Amazing. Is this the astonishment that one, like, even before meditating on higher topics, like one returns to this basement, and in the mood of this astonishment, one starts chanting, because then it's like a...
In essence, the Vishesh Sambandha Gyan appears from the ocean of the Sadharana Sambandha Gyan. So a person who tries to artificially become involved in the Vishesh Sambandha Gyan without being established in the Sadharan, this is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would call Sahajiyasa. Sahajiya, to take things too easily. So what are we saying here? First, one must be established in the knowledge of relationship, which is general to all of us. It's common to all of us. We're all jivas. We're situated in this world. This world is the temporal world. Everything here is so fleeting. Ourselves, we are eternal beings, and therefore we have no reason to be disturbed by the slings and arrows of an outrageous fortune in this world. So being tolerant like a tree, due to being established in the sadharan, the general, the commonality of sambandha gyan, from that platform, the Vishesh Sambandha, that means now what is my particular relationship with Krishna, it will arise from that. And that is why this mood is expressed most graphically, most vividly in Sanatan Shiksha. Because Mahaprabhu is describing to Sanatan Goswami the Sadharana Sambandha Gyan. And he even quotes these verses of Brahma Samhita. Yasaika Nishvasita Kalamata Avalaman. That Lord, the Mahavishnu is breathing, and the universes are destroyed within the space of one breath. And then the Mahaprabhu says, Suam tasam yatisha astrayadisha samraja lapshmyapta samastakama Chira Balim Chira Distira Lokapala Akorit Kodit Pada Pita. This is the most tongue twisting verse in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Swayam Tatisham Yatishastrayadisha Sambraja Lakshmyakta Samastakamya. These are conjuncts of consonants and they pile up really. Balim Harabdis Chira Lokapala Kirita Kodita Pada Pit. You need extreme dexterity to pronounce this verse. So you can try, it's a lot of fun.
We set that one out too?
Actually it's quoted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary on the Brahma Samhita, but you can see it's in Sanatana Siksha, and it's from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But Mahaprabhu, he utters this verse in regard, it's the verse basically said that Krishna is the Lord of threes. Three gunas, three worlds, and also three, that is Dwarka, Mathura, and Braj, the antar mandal of the Goloka planet. And he is, in this verse, it says, samastakama, samaraja lakshmiapta samastakama, all Krishna's desires are automatically filled. He just feels something and the whole universe just starts to move and make it happen. Balim harabdis tira lokapal, and all the lokapals, the powerful gods of the individual planets within any one universe, they come simultaneously and they bow down at his feet. And when the jewels on the tips of their crowns touch the ground at his feet, it makes such a tremendous sound, as if glorifying Krishna by the powerful vibration of Vedic mantras. And so, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this verse in regard to the time when Lord Brahma came to see Krishna in Dwarka. And the Dharma said, which Brahma are you? And when Brahma came in the presence of Krishna, he said, oh, I have, Krishna said, is everything auspicious in your particular universe? And he said, by your grace, everything is auspicious. Then Brahma, in his mind he had the question, why did he say which Brahma? There's only one Brahma. And then Krishna smiled and he caused millions of Brahmas to appear flying from the sky, and some with 4 heads, 8 heads, 16 heads, 32 heads, 64 heads, 128 heads, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 heads. Brahmaji, he felt like a tiny little white rabbit who was hopping along in the midst of a herd of elephants when all these Brahmas came from the different universes. And when they bowed down at the feet of Krishna, oh, this verse is describing the sound that their crowns made. But each Brahma thought that he was the only one there. So for each Brahma, the touch of his crown was just a touch. But because millions of Brahmas, and the one Brahma who had the doubt in his mind saw them all, and he heard the sound of all of their crowns. So it was tremendous. So when Mahaprabhu uttered this verse, then Mahaprabhu said that, Ey mata aishwarya shuni adbhut, jahara shune chite malahoya dhut. He said, no one has ever heard of such adbhut, such astonishing aishwarya ever. And simply by hearing it, chitta malahoya dhut. All the contamination, all the fog and cobwebs in the heart becomes completely blasted away, gone completely. So then Mahaprabhu, he said, I am in this ocean of opulence, and I don't know which way to go. He was completely bewildered. And then, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the ocean of Krishna opulence, the jewels of Krishna's sweetness began to appear. And then Mahaprabhu, he just gets totally lost, and he starts to speak about the Krishna sweetness and the gopis, and how the sound of Krishna's flute starts to automatically undo the knots in the gopis' underwear, and he gets totally lost. And then he realizes, what am I saying? And he says to Sanat Goswami, I never meant to say any of this to you. I never meant to say any of these things. He said, but you are lucky. Somehow or other Krishna bewildered me and you've heard the things that I never wanted to say. So if you trace back through the conversation, you can see the point where Marple got lost, and it was this verse. Swayam tasamya tishayastrayadisha, this verse. And so this verse puts us into perspective, the sambandha between the tiny jiva and the astonishingly, supremely powerful Govinda, the Adipurush. So these verses of sambandha gyan in the sadharana, general sambandha gyan of Brahma Samhita, put things into perspective, cause us to be struck with wonder, and on the basis of that, we can begin to chant and meditate, and the vishesh sambandha gyan will manifest. Gaur Premanande.
Govinda Gopala Murali Manohara Dalala Govinda Gopala Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Jai Sri Guru Ganga Ganapati Jai Sri Radha Vinod Vihari Yuki Jai Om Vishnu Parashvara Smad Bhakti Ranta Nayan Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Neti Vira Prishnu Mishpat Smad Guru Ganga Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Neti Vira Prishnu Mishnu Parashvara Smad Bhakti Ranta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Neti Vira Prishnu Mishnu Parashvara Smad Bhakti Pragyan Keshi Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarvar Thakur Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Mahabhag Prabhashi Mokshodas Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Sadhan Goswami Sajjan Thakur Bhakti Nod Ki Jai Sirupan Udgari Guru Vah Ki Jai Prem Se Kausi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shedvet Gurara Shri Sari Gaur Bhakta Vrani Ki Jai Shri Praja Manu Ketra Manu Gaur Manu Ki Jai Ti Bhubra Mahum Karisi Hai Naam Sankirtan Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Gavane Gopinath Madan Mohan Ju Ki Jai Anant Kori Vaisna Vrani Ki Jai Samagana Bhakta Vrani Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Om Brindaye Tulasi Devyay Priyaye Keshavasya Krishna Bhakti Prajadevi Sattvainur Vancha Kalpataru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Puditanam Pavanishya Vaishna Vipyo Namo Namah.